Hello guys, now you are listening second chapter from the political science textbook of class 8. Chapter number 2, Understanding Secularism. In the previous chapter, the Indian Constitution, we have seen certain key features of the Indian Constitution, such as federalism, parliamentary form of government, separation of powers, fundamental rights, and the secularism. So, one of key feature of the Indian Constitution is secularism. Let's imagine yourself as a Hindu or Muslim living in the part of United States of America where Christian fundamentalism is very powerful. Suppose that despite being US citizen, no one is willing to rent their house to you. How would you this make you feel? Would it not make you feel resentful? What if you decided to complain against this discrimination and were told to go back to India? Would this not make you feel angry? Your anger could take two forms. First, you might react by saying that Christians should get the same treatment in places where Hindus and Muslims are in majority. This is the form of retaliation. Or you might take the view that there should be justice for all. You may fight, stating that no one should be discriminated against on the grounds of their religious practices and beliefs. This statement rests on the assumption that all forms of dominations related to religion should end. This is the essence of secularism. In this chapter, you will read more about what this means in the Indian context. History provides us with many examples of discrimination, exclusion and persecution on the grounds of religion. You may have read about how Jews were persecuted in the Hitler's Germany and how several millions were killed. Now, however, a Jewish state of Israel treats its own Muslim and Christian minorities quite badly. In Saudi Arabia, non-Muslims are not allowed to build a temple, and nor can they gather in public place of prayers. In all the above examples, members of one religious community either persecute or discriminate against members of other religious communities. These acts of discrimination take place more easily when one religion is given official recognition by the state at the expense of other religion. Clearly, no one would wish to be discriminated because of their religion nor dominated by another religion. In India, can the state discriminate against a citizen on the grounds of their religion? No. What is secularism? In the previous chapter, you read about how the Indian Constitution contains fundamental rights that protect us against state power as well as against the tyranny of the majority. The Indian Constitution allows individual the freedom to live by their religious beliefs and practices as they interpret these. In keeping with this idea of religious freedom, India also adopted a strategy of separating the power of religion and the power of the state. Secularism refers to this separation of religion from the state. So, why is it important to separate religion from the state? Let's see. As discussed above, the most important aspect of secularism is its separation of religion from the state power. This is important for a country to function democratically. Almost all countries of the world will have more than one religious group living in them. Within these religious groups, there will most likely be one group that is in majority. If this majority religious group has access to state power, then it could quite easily use this power and financial resources to discriminate against and persecute persons of other religion. This tyranny of the majority could result in the discrimination, coercion, and at times even the killing of religious minorities. The majority could quite easily prevent minorities from practicing their religions. Any form of domination based on religion is in violence of the rights that democratic society guarantees to each and every citizen, irrespective of their religion. Therefore, the tyranny of the majority and the violation of fundamental rights that can result in one reason why it is important to separate the state and religion in democratic societies. Another reason that it is important to separate religion from the state in democratic society is because we also need to protect the freedom of individuals to exist from their religion, embrace another religion, or have the freedom to interpret religious teaching differently. To understand this point better, let us take the practice of untouchability. You might feel that you dislike this practice within Hinduism and therefore you want to try and reform it. However, if state power were in the hands of those Hindus who support untouchability, then do you think that would have an easy task to try and change this? Even if you were part of dominant religious group, you might face a lot of resistance from fellow members of your community. These members who have control of state power might say that there is only one interpretation of Hinduism and that you do not have the freedom to interpret these differently. What is Indian secularism? The Indian constitution mandates that the Indian state be secular. According to the constitution, only a secular state can realize its objectives to ensure the following: that one religious community does not dominate another. Second, some members do not dominate other members of same religious community. Third, the state does not enforce any particular religion nor take away the religious freedom of individuals. The Indian state works in various ways to prevent the above dominations. First, it uses strategy of distancing itself from the religion. The Indian state is not ruled by religious group and nor does it support any one religion. In India, government spaces like law courts, police stations, government schools and offices are not supposed to display or promote any one religion. In a government school in a Simapur, students want to celebrate a religious festival. A student says, "Sir, there is big religious festival next month. We have never celebrated it in school. Can we do this year?" Sir says, "I am afraid that isn't possible, Rekha. This is a government school. We cannot give importance to any one religion. Private school may do that. Government schools don't. Government school don't celebrate any religious festivals in the school premises. Most religious festivals are a public holiday so that we can celebrate these at home." Student says, "We never thought of this at the moment. I guess we can always celebrate it outside school." In the above storyboard, the celebration of religious festivals within the school would have been a violation of the government's policy of treating all religions equally. Government school cannot promote any one religion either in their morning prayers or through religious celebrations. This rule does not apply to private schools. The second way in which Indian secularism works to prevent the above domination is through a strategy of non-interference. This means, in order to respect the sentiments of all religions and not interfere with religious practices, the state makes certain exception of particular religious communities. A group of friends who have recently bought scooters are meeting to go for a ride together. One says, "Hey, I hope you have a helmet. You know the law in Delhi requires that a helmet is necessary. Why aren't you wearing helmet? Do you want to be fined?" Second says, "Don't worry, I will not be fined." The first says, "Hey Paramjit, why won't you be fined?" Paramjit says, "For Sikhs, wearing a pagri is a very important part of our religion. The government cannot force me to wear a helmet." In the above storyboard, Paramjit, a Sikh youth, does not have to wear a helmet. This is because the Indian state recognizes that wearing a pagri is a central to a Sikh religion practice, and in order not to interfere with this, allows an exception in the law. The third way in which Indian secularism works to prevent the domination listed earlier is enough a strategy of intervention. You read earlier in the chapter about untouchability. This is a good example where the members of the same religion, upper caste, dominate other members, that is lower caste within it. In order to prevent this religion-based exclusion and discrimination of lower caste, the Indian constitution bans untouchability. In this instance, the state is intervening in the religion in order to end the social practice that is believes discriminates and excludes, and that violates the fundamental rights of lower caste who are citizens of the country. Similarly, to ensure that laws relating to the equal inheritance rights are respected, the state may have to intervene in the religion-based personal laws of community. The intervention of the state can also be in the form of support. The Indian constitution grants the right to religious communities to set up their own schools and colleges. It also gives them financial aid on a non-preferential basis. In what way is Indian secularism different from that of other democratic countries? Let's see. Some of the above objectives are similar to those that have been included in the constitution of secular democratic countries in other parts of the world. For example, the First Amendment of the US Constitution prohibits the legislature from making laws respecting an establishment of religion or that prohibit the free exercise of religion. What is meant by the word establishment is that legislature cannot declare any religion as the official religion, nor can they give preference to one religion. In the USA, the separation between state and religion means that neither the state nor religion can interfere in the affairs of one another. There is one significant way in which Indian secularism differs from the dominant understanding of secularism practiced in the United States of America. This is because, unlike the strict separation between religion and state in America, the Indian secularism, the state can intervene in the religious affairs. You have read about how the Indian constitution intervened in the Hindu religious practices in order to abolish untouchability. In Indian secularism, though the state is not strictly separate from religion, it does maintain a principal distance vis-a-vis religion. This means that any interference in the religion by the state has to be based on the ideals laid out in the constitution. These ideals serve as a standard through which we can judge whether the state is or is not behaving according to secular principles. The Indian state is secular and works in various ways to prevent religious dominations. The Indian constitution guarantees fundamental rights that are used based on the secular principles. However, this is not to say that there is no violation of these rights in the Indian society. Indeed, it's precisely because just violation happens frequently that we need a constitutional mechanism to prevent them from happening. The acknowledgement that such rights exist makes us sensitive to their violations and enables us to take action when these violations take place. In February 2004, France passed a law banning students from wearing any conspicuous religious or political signs or symbols such as Islamic headscarf and the Jewish skullcap or large Christian crosses. This law has encountered a lot of resistance from immigrants who are mainly from the former French colonies of Algeria, Tunisia and Morocco. In the 1960s, France had forced a shortage of workers and therefore had provided visas for these immigrants to come and work in the country. The daughters of these immigrants often wear headscarves while attending school. However, with the passing of this new law, they have been expelled from their school for wearing headscarves. So here, the second chapter, Understanding Secularism from the Political Science textbook of Class 8 ends here. In this chapter, we have seen certain concepts. Number 1. What is secularism? Number 2. Why is it important to separate religion from the state? Number 3. What is Indian secularism? We also came to know how Indian constitution's secularism is different from the secularism in the other countries. Thanks. See you soon. Goodbye.